I invite you to join with me in the reading of our Bible passage for today. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath day duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, Jesus went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other one. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd also like to read with you from the Heidelberg Catechism, which is one of the confessional documents that the church says is a good and faithful summary of biblical teaching. Question and answer 103 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks this question: "What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment?" And of course, the fourth commandment is keep the Sabbath day holy. The answer is this: first, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath." And so says the Heidelberg Catechism. Here we are on the Labor Day weekend. This service is prepared for Sunday, September 6, 2020, and September 7, tomorrow, is Labor Day. I've always thought that Labor Day is quite a weird holiday. I mean, as a society, we say we're going to have a day where we celebrate labor, and how we celebrate it is we give everyone a holiday so that no one has to labor. But with that little contradiction accepted, we do acknowledge and we would say that work is a huge part of our lives. It's really important. It takes up so much of our time. It is so much of our identity that it is a good thing for us to spend some time reflecting on it. And as Christians, it is good for us to think about labor and work and understand it from a biblical and a confessional perspective. But what do you do? How do you preach on Labor Day? What Bible passages do you use? And I thought, well, the first thing that came to mind actually was the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. You know, they're famous. A lot of people know the Ten Commandments or they're familiar with them. And the first few of them, actually the first four, are commandments, guidances for how we have a relationship with God. It talks about our relationship with the Lord. And the last six are about our relationship, our proper connections with other people. So it's very helpful, very practical, and really important that we understand how we as God's people should act. Now, in that first set, the ones about God, there is the one that says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And it goes on to say that we do that, we keep the Sabbath day holy by not working on that day, having a day of rest. And on that day that I should rest from our labors, and so should our kids, and so should our employees, and so should our animals, or maybe our machinery. That the idea is that everything just takes a pause and has a rest. Now, here's something that I actually found kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, there are two places where the Ten Commandments are listed. One is in Exodus chapter 20, and the other one is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Both of them have the same commandments in the same order. And both, of course, say that the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And they both say how we should do that. We should not work, not us, not our kids, not our staff, not our guests or anything. But then there's a difference that comes between these two tellings. Exodus chapter 20 says this, and I'm just going to quote that commandment from Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What this says is that Sabbath, the day of rest on that seventh day, is an imitation of God who labored for 6 days to create the world. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all of his labors. And that rhythm of 6 days and a day of rest is rooted in the very fabric of creation itself. As God worked 6 days and rested making creation, so you should work 6 days and rest on the seventh. Remember, it says, that you live and you are in relationship with the God who created not only you, but the whole world. And because he is the creator, worship him alone. He only is worthy of your devotion and your service. Sabbath is rooted in creation. Why rest on the seventh day? Because of creation. So says Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are also in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this is what it says in the fourth commandment. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as well as you do. Remember, it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Wow, that's different. Remember, it says, remember that you are free. Remember that you have been given an identity and that you have a future, because God took you in your weakness and hopelessness and despair, brought you from slavery and gave you liberty and gave you a home and gave you a future. Therefore, take that day of rest to revel in the relationship that you have with that saving, redeeming, life-giving God. As we live in the time following Jesus' victory on the cross and before his second coming in glory, we, with the Old Testament people, worship God as the Creator, a la Exodus chapter 20, and as the Redeemer, a la Deuteronomy chapter 5. Our redemption does, but not exclusively, focus on the history of God's work in the Old Testament, that our spiritual forefathers and foremothers were released from that slavery, led across the wilderness, brought to the promised land, and given home. We focus more, it seems, on the freedom that we have, the release that has been granted to us by God from sin and the death sentence that comes along with us, with it. Redemption is ours in Jesus. And that's why, and sometimes people ask me, why when the Bible says worship him on the seventh day in the Old Testament, has the church said, but we are going to worship God on the first day? Well, the seventh day, according to Exodus chapter 20, is the culmination of creation. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day. He rose from the dead on Sunday. And therefore, all things are recreated and hope springs out of his victory. And therefore, the day of rest has migrated to the first day so that we can say, not only is our God the Creator, he is the Redeemer. And so we celebrate both creation and redemption when we gather as the people of God. And so we are called to find in this special and wonderful gift of God rest and spiritual renewal. Sundays, if Sunday is the day that you're able to take that day of rest to experience that Sabbath, is not about us. It is most certainly true that we receive a blessing when we take the time to commune with God and with our fellow believers, but the focus of true Sabbath is on the Lord. It's a time for us to, in a very exquisite way, to come together and to be in His presence as a community. And as a community, we are given the joy of fellowship with the people who are called the very body of Christ. And as the people of God, as that body, as that community dedicated to the glory of God, we can together remember the poor and try to bless them. The gospel reading today was from Matthew chapter 12. And that is an important vignette from Jesus' ministry, which took place on that Sabbath day. Now, one of the protagonists in that story are the Pharisees, people who really took their religion seriously, but in their zeal for the law of God, had this very terrible tendency to miss the spirit and the meaning of the law. And they would add to it. They would make it harder and more of a burden for people so that, to be sure, they weren't accidentally breaking any laws, but it was just crushing the spirits of the people. In honor or in recognition of the fourth commandment, the Pharisees said, you can't go for walks. There was what they would call a Sabbath day journey, which they somehow figured out how far it was that you could actually walk in a day. And if you walked any further than that, you were working. And you couldn't do anything that resembled work. You couldn't do any cultivating or anything. So if you were a farmer, it goes without saying, on the Sabbath day, you couldn't harvest your crops. But just to be sure that you weren't doing that kind of work, everybody was forbidden from even touching a plant or taking a seed off of it. Well, in the story in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field, probably too far, according to the Pharisees. But they were hungry, and there was grain. As they walked, they just let some grain fall into their hands, and they ate it. And oh, what an offense! What a terrible crime they did, according to the Pharisees. And they went to Jesus and said, look at your disciples. Look at how they're breaking the Sabbath day. Look how they're desecrating the fourth commandment. And then Jesus helped them to understand, if they were willing to hear, which apparently they weren't, because they decided that they were going to get rid of them. Jesus corrected them. He said, the Sabbath isn't about rules. The Sabbath is about a relationship. The Sabbath isn't about being so stern about everything. It's about mercy. The Sabbath isn't about letting people go hungry. The Sabbath is about being ready to do good. Too bad they didn't hear. Too bad they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, that reading that we had from the Heidelberg Catechism, I find it its words to be exceedingly wise and tremendously helpful as it teaches us about this fourth commandment. Now, the catechism in this answer starts off with the obvious stuff. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, it means taking time off of work and going to church. but having an opportunity to be with God's people in fellowship, an opportunity to open the Bible together and learn from it, to support the poor and to advance ministry causes together. Well, yeah, that's true. Kind of obvious, but true, and doesn't hurt being repeated. But then the catechism question and answer here says something else that's really quite startling and quite a wise addition to our thinking on this. It says that the Sabbath isn't just about Sunday, about going to church and doing all these churchy activities. It says that Sabbath is a concept. Sabbath is a thing that isn't just on the one day of the week, but it's something that pervades every day of the week and enters into every part of our lives. Like everybody, we live in a spiritually challenging environment. You ask Joe Blow on the street, you know, madam, anybody, say, who do you serve? What's your number one? What's your ultimate hope? What's your purpose in life? A lot of people would say, well, I'm all about myself, getting what I want for myself, getting money, comfort, position, prestige, whatever. My purpose is advancement, maybe my personal reputation. And it comes down, if you boil it down to its essence, it's about selfishness and greed and naked ambition. But the gospel says to us, as the people of God, that is not the way that you should be. That should not define you. That shouldn't explain who you are. Say, your number one, your goal is the Lord. Your hope is the victory of Christ. And our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God in this world wherever we are placed. We are to rest not from work throughout the week. We are to rest from depravity. Say, we are not going to go there anymore. We take a break from it, from everything that is twisted and wrong and hurtful, and we embrace God's way, the way of Christ, the way of the gospel. And that is the eternal Sabbath. I love that phrase in the catechism. The eternal Sabbath that we live in. It's not about rules. It's about life. The gospel calls us not just to a set of beliefs. It calls us into a lifestyle, so that Christ is reflected in us, that he leads us. We will labor faithfully and diligently, revealing that we are the people of the transformation, that the Spirit is working in us, creating new values and new hope and new dreams to the glory of God. As you go to work on Tuesday, when this long weekend is over, you go as an emissary of Christ. Make a difference. Glorify the Lord, and may peace be yours in Jesus. Amen.